messed up. Welcome to Sunday morning. What a beautiful day. We got a little bit of rain. Everybody get rain or just some people? Everybody got some? Well, burn ban's still in effect, though, so until they convene Tuesday and make that executive decision. Man, it feels good to be in the house of the Lord. Everybody take a deep breath. There you go. It's Sunday morning. We're going to have a good time in this lesson. This is a lesson that the Lord gave to me. It's not written by anybody but me and God. So if it's out of whack, it's my fault. So I can take accountability for that. But I'm going to go into Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read the entire chapter because Romans chapter 8 is a very, very good chapter. But I think it's going to run in conjunction with what I have to say and what the Lord gave me for teaching this morning. Over the last several Sundays, we've talked about prayer. We've talked about fasting. And what are all of those things doing for our lives? They're ultimately building us a relationship with God. I've watched or listened, rather, a few podcasts on religion versus relationship over the last couple of weeks. And there's a lot of people that are really shunning religion. There's a lot of Americans that are really pushing against being religious. And you have all of these non-denominational churches popping up. And you have all of this, I don't want to be religious. And there's a lot of craziness and a lot of false doctrine and a lot of it. But I want to talk to us about relationship and being in tune with God. And the whole point of prayer and fasting and the fruit of the Spirit that we've talked about, and it matters where you're planted. It all boils down to one thing: relationship with God. Where is my relationship? And this is what the Lord's been dealing with me about over the last several weeks, is where am I at aligned with where God is? And it's something that I ask you, rhetorical question. Where are you at aligned to where God is in your life? And so Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature awaiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth, travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to the purpose or to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he called, he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spareth not his own son, but delivereth him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is a whole lot of information. And it boils down to, I want to be in tune with my Maker. Because nothing else can separate me from the love of God except myself, right? And so being in tune, I have to work on things, Sister Kristen, like a piano, like a guitar. And at times, I can become out of tune. And so it's important for me to daily walk with God, to try to keep in tune with God. It's important. That's why I've discussed prayer. That's why we've discussed fasting, right? That's why we've talked about the gifts of the Spirit, all right? Those are things that put me into a place where I can be in tune with God. And something was said this week, that caught my attention. And I wanted to expand on it a little. Proximity to God is not in tune with God. I'm going to say that again. Proximity to God is not equal a relationship with God. Sister Benton, I can come to church every day of the week. I can sit in a comfortable chair or an uncomfortable chair, because back in the day, I'm pretty sure they didn't have padding on these chairs, right? And I can sit there and I can listen to the Word of God and I can be in proximity to what God is saying. But that does not give me a relationship with God. Pastor says it all the time. I'm going to start writing all his stuff down. I think I have some of it written down. Going to church doesn't make me saved like going to McDonald's. Make me a Happy Meal. It's not the religion, per se. There is doctrine, and we must follow doctrine. But it's the relationship. Because when I begin to get a relationship with God, then ultimately it brings me in tune with the doctrine of God. It brings me truth. But I have to seek out that relationship. Communion with God puts me in tune with God, not proximity. What is communion? The communion, and I looked it up and there's multiple definitions. This one popped out at me. Communion is the root word for intimate fellowship or communication. Now, before that, there's about 3 or 4 or 5 other different definitions that said communion was a religious act where people ate bread and drank wine or grape juice. And they did it however often, right? That's the Christian communion with God. But when you dig a little deeper and you actually go to the root word of communion, is communication. And so I have to develop a communion with God to be in tune with God. I have to develop, it is breaking bread, but it's not the physical bread. The Word of God says man cannot live by bread alone, but what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is His Word that gives me bread. It's a spiritual bread. It's a spiritual communion. So it's important that I have communion and communication with God. How do I know when God speaks to me? That was a question that was asked this week. How do you know, Sister Benton? How do you know when God speaks to you? Can you give me an example? Can I give you the mic so everybody can hear? Please.
Do you want me to start? Anyway, I was sitting at my dressing table getting ready for work, and the Lord impressed a thought in my mind. That's how I feel He speaks to me. That Psalms 139:17 says that God's thoughts of us are more in number than the sand. And that morning the Lord spoke to me and told me that if I put just 1 teaspoon of sand on my table, I still could not count the grains. And that has really been a blessing to me throughout these following years. I have a lot of grandchildren and a lot of great-grandchildren. And when they're in trouble, I tell the Lord, I know that your thoughts of them are more in number than the sand. So you know exactly what they need right now, what they need, when they need it. So that has really been a blessing to me. He speaks to me with thoughts. Another instance is I was on one of my Amish trips with Sister Cooley. And we'd gone to church that night in Ohio, and I was having to put drops in my eyes for glaucoma. And we got back to the hotel room, and I was brushing my teeth, washing my face, getting ready for bed, and started to put the drops in my eyes. And the Lord said, trust me. So I didn't put the drops in my eyes, and I didn't put any more drops in my eyes. And that's been probably 10 years ago, and I still don't have glaucoma. So he speaks to me with thoughts.
That's good. I'm following the Holy Ghost right now. If you didn't have communion, you wouldn't know when God spoke to you. How do I know when God wants me to do something? How do I know when God wants me to go a certain direction? If I have no communion, if I have no communication, if I am not in tune with God, then I will not hear His voice. I can't, because everything else drowns out the voice of God. The Bible says that He is a still small voice. He's not in the thunder. He's not in the loud, boisterous, but it was that still, small voice. And if I'm not in tune with the Word of God, if I'm not in communication with God, then ultimately I can easily miss, Sister Crosswhite, that still, small voice. Back when I was in a backslidden state, and I only look back, not to desire to go back, but to never go back and remember to never to go back. But there are places that I would go, bars that I would attend. And as I walked through the door of this very loud environment, there would be a voice inside of me that said, you know you're not supposed to be here. And I would push it away. And I would continue on. I'm talking about I've had the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about the voice of God can speak, even in a backslidden state. But there was something deep inside of me that knew I wasn't supposed to be there. And the Lord will use conscience to help direct you. Judas was a prime example of somebody that was in close proximity to God, was a part of the miracles, was a part of the teachings, and still never had a relationship with God. Never had that one-on-one. So in John chapter, let's go to Acts 20 and 9. Let's talk about Eutychus. Anybody remember him? This is an example. Now, there was something that drew Eutychus there. He was curious of what was going on. But he still wasn't completely convinced. And so instead of being in the front, or being down where everybody was at, he found himself in a window. Acts 20 and 9 says, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. Make sure everybody's awake in here. Brother Chad, you awake over there? But it proves that you can be in close proximity to God and still be asleep. You can be in close proximity to God and still be asleep spiritually, not just physically. As Paul was long preaching, Brother Jerry, that is a true statement. He sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Go to the next one. Did I say 10? Go to 10. And Paul runs over there. He goes down and he falls on him and embraced him, saying, "Trouble not yourself, for his life is in him." The one good thing about Eutychus is he fell into and not out of. Because there's always a possibility that had he fallen out, he would have not been seen. Proximity to God is not relationship with God. So in communion, I'm going to bring a couple of things. He sends the Comforter, according to John 16, 7 and 8. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." This is the Lord talking to the disciples. "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." He's sending the Comforter, right? And when sending the Comforter, he's going to reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. How does he do that? Let's go to John 16 and 8. "When he has come, he will reprove..." "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient..." Go back to 8. Well, I put this twice. How about this? Conviction. That's how he's going to do it. Reprove the world of sin is conviction. And conviction is, the definition of conviction is it brings to light. That's what conviction is. Don't confuse conviction with condemnation. Those are two different things. Conviction is going to bring something to light. Conviction is truth that's brought to you. I'm going to send the Comforter, and he's going to reprove some things, and he's going to bring some things to light. And it's going to be conviction in our lives. And trust me when I say conviction is truth, it's not always emotion. Now, this truth can come with emotion, but conviction is truth. It's not emotion. So if sin is causing a problem in your life, then conviction is going to bring it to light. And he's going to say, "You have a choice, Brother Brent." That still small voice in that was in me was conviction. Because I had the Holy Ghost. I knew the voice of God. But every time I would walk into that place, I would hear that voice. "You're not supposed to be here." That means there's an action being taken, and I have a choice. I can either turn around and walk away, or I can continue the path that I'm on. Conviction brings it to life. Now, it's not always easy. So if sin is causing a problem, he's going to give you instruction through that internal conviction to remove the sin. But you have to do it. Now, God will forgive the sin. God is a forgiving God. He wants to pull you out of sin, but he's not going to make you. It's your choice. It's your choice to turn away, turn around and walk away from the sin, or to continue in it. It's his desire to pull you out. That's why he sends conviction. That's why he sends that little voice that says, "Hey, you're not supposed to be here." According to Acts 26, 15 through 18, God wants you to walk in kingdom purpose and in kingdom mindedness. And I said, who art thou, Lord? This is Saul at the moment. He's on the road to Damascus. And Saul comes to a place in his life where the Lord actually literally is not a voice to him other than is a voice from the sky. It's not an internal voice. Now it's an external voice. And says, I've got something for you. And Saul says, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. God has a purpose. To make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul had a decision. I can either continue in the route that I'm going, or with this light and this voice, I can make a change. This was not condemnation. The devil will twist this. Oh, God's just trying to make you do stuff that, you know, that all these other, look at all these other people. They don't have to do this. They don't have to follow by these rules. Look what you've done. This was not condemnation. This was conviction. A decision needs to be made. So Paul had to come to an action in his life. Psalms 37, 23 through 31, Brother Josh. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young. Woo! Praise the Lord. Who's saying these words? I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. And that got me to thinking, how is it that none of my steps shall slide? If I choose to walk with God, if I choose this path, not far in the same book, the psalmist also wrote, I saw the prosperity of the wicked, and my foot well nigh slipped. I almost did, because I saw how prosperous they were. I saw all the good things that was going on. Like nothing, everything they did turned to gold. And nothing evil came about. Sister Christian, it was so frustrating to watch the things that they were doing, just like everything. And they did it with evil intentions. They didn't even do it. It wasn't even godly. But everything they do, there seems to be no judgment, Sister Riley. There seems to be no, there's no punishment for them. So why do I have to? Why do I have to be the good guy when I see all of the wicked doing wicked things and they're not getting a punishment? Brother Weaver, that came to me. Why? Why do they not get punished? Why am I getting punished and they're not? And then the psalmist ends with, until. What? I considered therein. Until I considered therein. Where was I at? I was in the house of God. When I went to the house of God and I considered therein, God showed me that this is the better way. Having that relationship with God is the better way. If a decision is needed to be made, it can be received in multiple different ways. God can talk to you through prayer, through visions, phone calls from random strangers, from random people. He can answer your prayers through all of these different things in different ways. But he's going to give you, action is steps that are taken. Psalms 46:10, Brother Josh. Be still and know that I am God. Even if the action taken and the step that I'm supposed to take is being still. Brother Neil, I have to be still. This is the step that I'm on. I'm not supposed to take another step right now. I'm just supposed to be still and know that God is God. And he will be exalted among the heathen, and he will be exalted in the earth. And there are sometimes in our relationship with God, if we are in tune with God, that we know, I'm not supposed to go anywhere, Brother Jerry. I'm supposed to stay right here. It matters where you're planted. Because that devil is going to tell you, you're not supposed to be here. You need to go visit another church. You need to go. There, your pastor's too strict. I don't know how many times I've heard that in the last 9 months. Makes me sick. I need it to make it to heaven. You know who the people are telling me that my pastor's too strict? Are the people who are struggling to stay in church. Because why? They're not in tune with God. There's no tuned relationship. They're just walking according to however they want to walk. And then they're like, oh, well, you, life is not. I'm telling you, Pentecostals that have called me dear friends of mine, that have gone through the similar situation that me and my family have gone through in the last 10 months. The church is oppressive to women. That's what I've been told. Women can't handle what the church does to them. That's somebody out of tune with God. I want my relationship. Let me tell you to the ladies, I'm not a lady. I do not know what all y'all go through. I can only imagine the 14 different emotions that y'all have times 10. I don't understand it. But I will tell you, if you're in this house, this is where you're supposed to be. I'm going to say it again. It matters where you're planted. Are you struggling? Are you in a struggle? Yes, by all means, you probably are. But by God, you better stay planted. Dig a little deeper and root a little harder to stay where you are. Because eventually, you'll reap the fruit. It may be hard right now, but it's going to be worth it. And so he says, I will give you one instruction at a time as he leads you. Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Everybody stay seated, because I don't want anybody getting hurt during this section of the teaching. Brother Josh? We all want to see, Brother Jerry, what's way down that path. I don't want to blind y'all. This is not a lamp, but this is what we want. We want to see what's way over there in that corner. But God wants you to take a step. Brother Brent, you trust me. Come up here with me. Now, it can be a lamp unto your feet, and my Coleman lamp disappeared about 10 months ago, so I had to improvise. So we all want to see what's down the path. We all want to see what's down the road. We all want to see what's around the corner, but God doesn't want us to see that. God said, I want you to trust me, and I want you to walk with me. And this is the lamp. I can't see what's in that corner with this lamp. I can only see where my feet are walking right now. Walk with me. And so I want to walk with God, and I want him to walk with me. But I can only see what's right in front of me. And being in tune with God and your relationship with God means that I trust him that my next step, I can see just what's in front of me. I can see just what's in front of me. And sometimes, Sister Kristen, that means stopping, because I don't know what's around that corner right there. And that's why the Lord says, be still and know that I'm God. I'm working some things out before you take the next step. But how do I know that if I'm not in tune with God? How do I know that if my relationship is faltering or failing? How do I know that if I've skipped out on prayer, or if I've skipped out on fasting, or if I've forgotten what the fruit of the spirits are, the fruit of the Spirit is? Right? How do I know that? Watch your step, Sister Christy and Brother Aaron. Sometimes being still and knowing that God is God will help you. Here, you need a light? Okay. He's a lamp. Oh, here we go. Go sit down, Brother Brent. He's a lamp unto the... See, look. Now they can see where they're going. Right? Here we go. So sometimes, there you go. But could y'all see that from way back there when y'all walked in? No, you couldn't. Why? Because he is a lamp unto my feet. It doesn't say that he's a lamp to the end of the path, but he's a lamp unto my feet. And I can see exactly where I'm going. And then being in tune with God means that I'm walking with God just like this. That's it, by faith. I have to trust his voice. But to know his voice, I have to be in tune with him. Oh yeah, we want to see what's around the corner. We don't like surprises. You can turn the lights back on. We don't like surprises. Ooh, it's bright all of a sudden. Let there be light, and there was light. It's about being in tune with God. I was at and it reminded me this week, my whole living room's done in old ships. So anybody have, like, old, they call them pirate ships now, but the old, like, sailing ships, you know, the ships that my daughter's going through history class right now. Columbus sailed on, the Mayflower, all that. I love those. My whole living room is decorated in them, right? And so I got a rug, and I was excited about the rug. It's a big ship in the middle. As a matter of fact, I took a picture and sent it to Brother and Sister Crosswhite. I'm so excited about it. But, so if anybody has any ships that, you know, come across a garage sale or something, think about me. But when I got that rug in yesterday and I laid it out in my living room, it reminded me of a ship. The ship's tossed in a wave, And the ship has a destination. And the destination is important. But the journey is also important. And me and my girls were, they were, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago. Not quite 15, probably 10. You're almost 15 now, so you're, yeah, about 10 years ago. We were in Bible quizzing, and I was telling a fellow minister that I'm really good friends with, Brother Howe, about all of this storms that I've gone through, the storms of life that I just thought was storms. You know what he looked at me and he said? He said, Brother Colton, just enjoy the journey. And when I got that cart, when I got that rug yesterday and I rolled it out in the living room and I was so excited about it, his voice resonated in my mind. Just enjoy the journey. And so God has given us direction and a path, and he's given us people to help us. He's given us people that are voices in our lives that help direct us. And when you're going through a storm, just remember that you have a destination. Just enjoy the journey. Right? So he's going to give, and I'm getting ready to close. He's going to give instructions as he leads, right? Sometimes it's walking, sometimes it's being still. But it's a path. It's sometimes fast, and it's sometimes slow. But it is one step at a time. And it is about the destination, because destination is heaven. But it's also about the journey. In your relationship and being in tune with God. Because once we get to that destination, he's going to ask us about our journey. The Bible says that we are going to be judged. I tell my girls, by the things we do and or don't do. It's going to be about the journey. So enjoy your journey. And in confirmation, Mark 16:20. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. The closer we get to the deadline, he's going to give you signs of confirmation of where you're going. Everybody ever drove on the freeway and missed your exit? It wasn't because you weren't warned 10 miles ago that there was an exit coming. And then 8 miles. And then 5 miles, and then 3 miles, 2 miles, 1 mile, and you still miss your exit. Those signs on the freeway are literally strategically placed at roughly every mile marker the closer you get to the time it's supposed to exit. And if you exit, or if you don't exit, case in point, a couple weeks ago, I was riding passenger princess with a coworker of mine, and he was like, hey, we need to stop and get gas. We're 20 miles to empty. And I was like, all right, well, that exit sign says exit 2 miles. Well, there's some gas station. And he was like, all right, good. Well, he missed it. And 5 miles to empty, 3 miles to empty. I looked at him. I said, you're pushing this truck. I'm not. 1 mile to empty, and we pulled into a gas station, all because we missed the exit back there, and anxiety was through the roof. Because he's worried he's going to have to push it. But there are signs that follow those that believe. There are confirmations that God will send you that help you while you're being tuned to his word, while you're being tuned to the relationship that he has for you. He'll give you signs. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you, but he's going to help direct you. God will reveal his word. The more you make him a priority, the more clearly you will see his voice, see his path, and hear his voice. The more you prioritize God in your life, the more things he's going to reveal to you. What's important to you is important to God. And so you make him a priority, he's going to make you a priority. I was always told, Sister Benton, you take one step to God, he'll take two steps to you. It's always something I've always been told. just remember. Prayer and fasting is a relationship builder to having and being in tune with God. Reading His Word is a relationship builder. That's literally what communion means. There's a communion, and I was reading the other day, there's a communion between the writer or the author and the reader, is what it said. There's a communion between the author of a book and the reader of the book. There's communion there. Let's take that to a spiritual side. There's communion between you and God when you read His Word. The more you read it, the more you'll get out of it. And I promise you, if you read the same thing over and over and over again, most of the time, you're going to get something different every time you read it. Because His Word is a living organism. It's alive. Let it be a light unto your life. Let it be a light unto your path. Walk with Him. Be in tune with God. And build your relationship. Everybody said amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm done talking, Brother Jerry. Don't fall asleep on me.